And while we present the Word of God, the believers will be lifting their hearts to God in prayer that someone in the meeting tonight will take the message in and be blessed as God so desires to bless them for His eternal salvation. Grand thing to know your sins forgiven. I would neither want to live nor face death without knowing Christ as my Savior. Now turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 13. Reading at the first verse. And there were present at that season some that told the Lord Jesus, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That was a massacre, a very sad thing. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now turn to the third chapter of John's Gospel, please. The third of John. And verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, to Nicodemus, verily, verily, or truly, truly, a double emphasis, Nicodemus, this is the truth. You better believe it, Nicodemus, this is the truth. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now a final reading, please, in Matthew's Gospel. The 18th chapter of Matthew. Verse 3. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now from the three readings of God's Word this evening, I would like to link them together in noticing with you how emphatic the Lord Jesus is that there are no exceptions in these three truths that he has presented. First of all, relative to the truth of repentance. The Savior said there are no exceptions. Except ye repent, ye shall perish. No exceptions. No man will ever be in heaven. No man will ever escape perishing except he repent. There's no exception. In the second reading, the Lord Jesus is just as emphatic. You can see it from the way that the Savior mentions it so emphatically to this man. Verily, verily, or this is the truth, Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No exceptions. You must be born again, or never enter heaven. In the third one, we find it's just as emphatic. The first one is a divine requirement. God requires
repentance.
The second one is a divine requirement for heaven. Ye must be born again. And the third one, friend, is the divine plan of salvation. He says, except you become like little children, you'll never get saved. No exceptions. No exceptions. There's only one simple plan for a sinner to be saved. And when a sinner becomes like a little child, you see, the thought is simplicity. God's salvation is not dependent on your brains. God's salvation is not dependent on your logic, nor your philosophy, nor your intellect in being able to unscramble difficult things. No, no, friend. God's salvation and the plan of God's salvation is the simplest thing in the world. A dear lady said to me one night going out at the meeting after I mentioned that and emphasized it, for I wanted the folk to get a hold of it. Obtaining God's salvation is the simplest thing in the world. She said to me, "Mister, I don't understand you." She says, "I've wanted salvation for a long time and I find it the most difficult thing." Well, I'll tell you where the problem lies, friend. If you find God's salvation difficult, the problem is not with the plan. Not at all. It's not with God. The problem is with us. We make it difficult. And God's salvation is the simplest thing in the world to obtain. No exceptions. No exceptions. Now let me notice with you in the first passage that we have read that there are no exceptions in the divine command. God commands all men to repent. Now the Lord Jesus gives two examples here. He speaks of two very extreme things. In fact, it is an amazing thing when you read the parables of the Lord and you read the teachings of the Lord Jesus, how he often uses examples that are so extreme. For example, he gives one time a parable about a marriage supper. And he said there were some people that were invited to that marriage supper and they wouldn't come. And the result was that the king that invited them sent his armies and slew them. What extremes, what tremendous consequences because of refusing an invitation. And here it is again. Here's a massacre. And the people were all talking about it. And so they came to the Lord Jesus and they said, "Now, what do you think about this, Lord? What do you think about what Pilate did to those people? They were down there with their sacrifices and he sent his soldiers in there and slew the whole lot of them. Wasn't that a terrible thing? No. What do you think about this?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Do you think that those people that died in that massacre died because they were greater sinners than others?" You see, that's the way they would look at it. God's judgment was on them, for sure. God's judgment was on them. Sure enough, God allowed them to be slew because they were idolatrous sinners. And the Lord Jesus said, "No." He said, "Except you repent, you will also perish." Solemn. Then they spoke of an accident. An accident in Jerusalem. And a tower fell and killed 18 people. And immediately the people began to pass a judgment. And they would say, "Well, those people must have had done something awful bad. And God killed them." That's what happened there. That's what happened. They got killed. They were bad sinners. And the Lord Jesus said, "Now look, that's not the truth." "No," he says, "that's not it. Except you repent, you will perish." Now listen, friends. There is a very, very solemn lesson in the language of the Lord Jesus. Listen to me carefully. It is very, very possible that you also could be taken in an accident or in some most unseemly fashion, so unexpected, like those seven people in Challenger. So unexpected. And they're gone, never to come back anymore. Now, you'll never go that way, likely. But you could certainly go in an unexpected manner. And the Lord Jesus points out, listen, the question is not how will I die. The question is, am I ready to die?
That's the question.
No exceptions. Except you repent, you will perish, whether you die by accident or whether you die in an unjust manner. If some foreign army came in here and slew a whole raft of people, like has done in so many countries, if that happened, and you were to die, the most important thing, friend, is not how you died, but were you ready to die? That's the point. Now I hope that gets into our hearts tonight. There are going to be accidents in Vancouver tonight. There will be ambulance sirens on the streets of Vancouver tonight. There will be men in the middle of the night picking fights and so on and stabbing and shooting, and some will die. It's going to happen. It happened today, no doubt. But my friend, the solemn thing is, if it were you, are you ready? Are you ready? See, that's what the Lord's getting at. There's no exceptions. The divine command is, man must repent, or he's not ready to die. Now, what is repentance? If it is an essential, if it is a divine command, then what is it? Now, I do not know what your conception of repentance is, friend. But the Lord Jesus explained it very simply one day. He spoke about a farmer and he had two boys. And he said to these two boys, now I want you to go and work out in this farm today. He said to the one son, and the one son said to him, no, I won't go. And the other boy, when his father asked him, he said, I'll go. But he didn't go. But the boy that said, no, I won't go, he changed his mind, and he went. Now, the Lord Jesus said that boy repented. Now, you see, there's the secret, friend, of repentance. It's when a man stops saying no to God and says yes. That's repentance. Now, it may involve some tears. It may involve a lot of remorse. When your stubborn heart stops saying no to God, you'll likely have a fight with it. The devil will put up a fight. And so will your wicked heart. Mine did. And when God began to get me to see from His Word that I was a sinner that was guilty of sinning against His will and His throne, and I deserved His wrath, my heart rebelled. I can well remember when my father, who was a good father and a God-fearing man, and he used to gather his little family around to pray at the supper table, and we had a little old black dog, his name was Tiny. And I remember playing with that critter under the chair while my dad was praying. You know why I did that? I did not want to face the fact that my father was speaking to God and I knew he was going to mention my name. I had a proud, rebellious heart, unrepentant. But oh well do I remember the Sunday night sitting in the back seat of that old car after a gospel meeting when my stubborn, proud heart was broken. And I bowed to the Word of God, and I well remember when I admitted, yes, God, I deserve to go to hell. That was repentance. God saw it. My friend, tonight, that's what God requires of every man. Now let me tell you the reason it's required. Because by nature, you and I have a rebellious heart. We're born rebels. There's a verse in the Bible that describes it this way. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Isn't that what we are? That's what we are by nature. Now you know as well, if you have raised any children at all, you know that you do not have to teach those children to do wrong. The first things we have to teach them is to obey. Why? Because they're rebels. That's what they are by nature. They're rebels. And one of the first words a little child will say is no. Isn't it? Rebels. It's in the nature. It's in the very nature of humanity to rebel. And that's why God requires repentance. You've got to stop saying no to God. And say yes. I am what the Bible says I am. I am a rebel. I am an enemy. I am lost. I am sinful. I am on the way to hell. That's what repentance is. When you stop saying no and say yes. And friend, there's no exceptions. Except you repent, you will perish. Now I hope that you will take that to your heart tonight.
I hope you will realize, friend, it isn't a question of sitting, listening to some preaching, and evaluating the manners of the man, or evaluating his language, or listening to his message, and linking it with your philosophy to see if it fits. My friend, God, you're the author of your breath, the sustainer of your breath, the sustainer of time itself and every atom of creation. He commands of creature man that he stop saying no, say yes. Every one of the young folk in this audience tonight, every father and every mother, God has a definite command for your heart, and that is that you repent. For mind you, every unrepentant sinner has sealed his own doom for hell. A solemn. That's why men go to hell, because they are unrepentant. Repentant sinners, God is pleased to save and to forgive, to lift their eye away to the Lord Jesus, and He has provided a Savior for sinners. And repentant sinners are able to receive Christ as their Savior, but unrepentant sinners perish. Now in my second reading, we find that equally there is a very distinct and emphatic word from the Lord Jesus that there are no exceptions. Every man must be born again or never enter heaven. Now notice again, will you, that we have mentioned concerning the Lord Jesus that with all emphasis He underlines it, and He underlines it twice. Nicodemus, this is the truth. Now this you can depend on, Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now may I ask you, friend, have you ever had a time when you were born again? Now there is an awful lot of teaching regarding being born again in our world tonight. And may I just mention this in passing, by way of elimination perhaps for you, to help you, friend. I would like to tell you what being born again is not. Being born again is not being baptized. Being born again is not taking of the Lord's Supper. Friend, being born again is not having a super sensational or charismatic experience. That's not being born again. Being born again is when a sinner receives from God everlasting life. Now, my friend, tonight, you wouldn't have to shed a tear to have everlasting life. You don't have to say a prayer to receive everlasting life. You don't have to raise a finger to receive everlasting life. But without it, you can never enter heaven. One day a lady was reading John chapter 3 and verse 16. This lovely gospel text here to my right hand. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but be born again. That's the way the preacher read it. Oh, she said, Mister, that's not right. The Bible doesn't say be born again. The Bible says have everlasting life. So he asked her a very simple question. Now, when you were born naturally, what did you receive? Oh, the lady said, I understand now. I understand. She says, I received life. Yes, he said, and when a person is born from above, born again, they receive everlasting life. That's what it means, friend. You see, it isn't a ritual being carried out. It isn't when you're baptized you receive everlasting life. It isn't when you receive the communion you receive everlasting life. It is not when you say your prayer you receive everlasting life. Notice my text. When a sinner trusts Christ, he receives everlasting life. That's the moment, friend. And there's no exceptions. There will never be a man in God's heaven who has not had a time when as a sinner they trusted the Lord Jesus for their salvation. Not one. Not one. And friend, if you do not have that time, then you are not born again. If you do not have that moment that you are able to remember, if you will, when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. For the Bible speaks of a time when a place where and a manner how sinners are saved. Do you have that, friend? To receive everlasting life, and without it, there's no heaven, no exceptions. Now let me point out to you as I leave this text that the Lord Jesus underlines four things about the new birth. I just mentioned them to you briefly. Listen to them. There's an urgency in being born again. Now this little word, verily, verily, does not only underline the meaning of being true, but it underlines the fact that this is true now. Now. There's no promise, friend, that you could receive everlasting life tomorrow. But you can now. Thank God. While the gospel is being heralded, while God is still extending the moments of mercy, you could be born again. It's urgent. There's no exceptions to its urgency. And there is no exceptions to its authority. The Lord Jesus is revealing to this man something he never heard before. Mind you, this man knew the Bible. He knew the first five books of your Bible off by heart. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Nicodemus could say them word for word off by heart. But he never knew what it meant to be born again. Very religious. No one could point a finger at him. He had a reproachless life, this dear man. No one could point at his life and point out error. But the one thing he never knew before was that a man had to be born again to be in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus is showing the authority. He says, I say unto you. Now that was to prove to this man that the one he was speaking with was God, manifest in flesh. That's the authority of it, friend. It's not the doctrine of the gospel hall. Mind you, it is the doctrine of the gospel hall in the sense that we believe the doctrine because it's in the Bible. But let me tell you, it's not a question that the gospel hall invented it. The Lord Jesus taught it. And except you are born again, man, woman, boy, or girl, you will never see the kingdom of God. That's its authority. And then the Lord Jesus underlines as well its universality. It's for every man. It matters not whether a man's a preacher or whether a man has no Bible, whether a man is well-educated or never been educated, irrespective of nationality, place or clime, every man under the sun must be born again to enter heaven. Do you know that there are missionaries have left this city of Vancouver and gone into lands across to the west, to the south, to the north, and to the east, and they're preaching the same message, for there's no other message, friend, to preach to sinners than this message, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. That's God's gospel. You must be born again or never enter heaven. Now, as I sit down, I want you to notice that God's salvation, the plan of it, its simplicity, there are no exceptions. Why does the Lord Jesus use a little child? Because, my friend, a little child doesn't reason. When you tell them something, they just rest on your word. And that's what God wants sinners to do. You see, the devil, one of the first things the devil did to man was to get him to reason with God's word. With Mother Eve, that's what he did. He interjected a word or two and denied God's word as being the truth and tried to get Eve to think of this thing logically. And when she began to reason with God's word, she fell. God's word is not given to man to reason with. God's word is given to man to trust, to believe. And my friend, that's how a man receives eternal life, when he stops reasoning and trusts the word of his God. When the sinner will take God at his word, God will open his eyes and he'll see the value of the redeeming work of Christ for his own salvation. That's what a little child does, don't they? Now? Well, do I remember the day when my father promised me my first bike. Two-wheeler. If I passed, when I was 9 years of age, when I passed at school, Dad was going to get me an old bike. He only paid $5 for it. It had six colors on it. My, I thought she was a beauty. An old two double bar, you know. Big old balloon tires on it. The old thing probably had been worn out many a day ago, but I thought she was great. And I remember when Dad promised it. And I tell you, I went to school the next day. And every chum of mine at school heard about the bike I was going to get. And I'd never seen it yet. But I knew well my father would keep his word. And my friend, I want to tell you, there's no one whose word you can trust more than the God of heaven that loves you and planned your eternal salvation by the giving up of his holy Son to the cross of Calvary to purchase eternal life. And he offers it as a free gift to every sinner that will stop their reasoning and take him at his word. That's where man makes it difficult. That's why I said it's so simple. It's just like a child. Dear Richard Gillis, a boy who had, from London, England, who had been able to, by scholarship, go through that great law school in London. He was just about to graduate, and he came over to Connecticut to visit some relatives, and he came to tent meetings that another brother Higgins and I were having. Dear Richard, very, very intelligent boy. And you know, the first week he kind of listened with a half a grin on his face, but by the end of the week, dear Richard was sobered up. But one night going out of the meeting, he said to me, Mr. Smith, he says, you must think that I'm rather dull, he says. That's the word he used. I'm rather dull, he says, that I can't seem to grasp this. Oh, no, Richard, I said, that's no surprise to me. For I said, the Lord Jesus said one day, he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. I said, when you, Richard, get to see that you can't figure out God's salvation by your brains, but that you'll have to trust God even when you can't figure it out, then I said, you'll get it. You know, week number three, dear Richard kept coming. And in week number three, one night when he went out of the hall, his face was a beam, and he shook my hand. He said, Mr. Smith, you were right. He says, I got saved tonight. And you know how I got it? He says, I just believed God. Shook my hand, he said, Mr. Smith, you were right. He says, I got saved tonight. And you know how I got it? He says, I just believed God. That's it, friend. When a sinner is willing to be like a child and trust God, even though they don't understand it, they will get salvation. And there's no other way. There's no exceptions. No exceptions in the divine command. You must repent or you'll perish. And there's no exception in heaven's requirements. You must be born again or never see the kingdom of God. And there's no exceptions in God's way to be saved. When you become like a little child, you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven.